Yeah, I was kicked out. I don't know what happened. All right. Good morning, everyone. I thank you, colleagues. I saw the presentation up earlier on. We've already greeted each other, MEC and your team. We were in early at 9 o'clock this morning on another matter. We are working hard. Yeah, cool. So we would like to welcome the MEC. Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs team to this meeting where there was a miscommunication which certainly did not sit well with us, and the presentation has been consolidated into one. And MEC, we are aware that there was a cabinet engagement, but it's good and well that you've been able to request another colleague to represent you chairing the meeting here to chair, which was a cabinet committee. So without any further ado, because we already all are aware of the issues which have brought us here, going to immediately then request the MEC and his team to make the presentation, and then we'll question. So MEC, over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and good morning to you and to other honorable members of the committee and the officials that are part of the meeting. And indeed, Honorable Chair, I had to request a colleague of mine, another MEC, to chair the meeting so that I can prioritize the meeting, appreciating the regrettable incident of last week, which I apologize, of the miscommunication led to the committee rescheduling. And I do appreciate that the committee is giving us this opportunity to present the report as was directed by the committee. And I'm glad that we did comply by submitting the report same day in the afternoon, as was directed by the committee that we submit. We did it the same day. Honorable Chair, with me, I'm with the HOD for COCTA, Mr. Fani, as part of the delegation, leading administration, and I've got DDG for local government, developmental local government, Khoboji, and I've got legal advisor, Mr. Makungu of COCTA, and Mr. Mdodi as parliamentary liaison officer in the MEC's office. Without wasting time, Honorable Chair, I'll now hand over to the HOD to proceed and make a presentation.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, MEC. Good morning, Honorable Members of the Committee. I hope I'm audible.
Sorry, can I just interrupt you? Honorable HOD. 1 second.
Your sound is terrible. As we can't really hear what you are saying, and our chairperson has kicked off the platform too. The sound.
All right, I'm back. I think in the gist of what the MEC was saying is that he was apologizing for last week and that they have submitted and was handing over to the HOD to make the presentation. The MEC will come back at the end.
We have a problem with the sound. We can't
HOD?
Hear. We can't hear. We have a problem with
thank
sound.
You.
We can't hear.
Just, HOD, just 1 second. There's feedback from somewhere that I'm picking up. It's bundles
it's like
of joy.
Even you two chairs are like very far away. That we can't hear you properly.
How? It's honorable Dex. Am I audible now? I'm trying to adjust myself as well this time.
You're like very far away. Like you in a guard house somewhere.
Alright, let's do this. HOD, HOD, over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I hope I'm audible. Do you hear me, Honorable Chair?
You are, you can proceed, yes.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Honorable Members, good morning, MEC. First, I think on my side, it is important for me to, as well as an accounting office, that do an apology on what happened last week. It was not even an element of trying to undermine the committee, but the mistake that we have done is not to retract the first presentation, because when the meeting was postponed, we got a chance of phoning security agencies so that we can give up the report. So our mistake was not to retract the first one. So I want to apologize for that, and I've accounted for that to the MEC, and I place my apology as well in front of the committee. The presentation is a presentation for Standing Committee on Public Accounts, Eastern Cape Municipal Investigation Update. It's supposed to be done by MEC Ngata, 18 November 2020. Next slide. That's the background, Honorable Chair. Without wasting time, introduction, background purposes, 1061B Municipalities Investigation Update, National Prosecution Authority Case Update, SIU Municipal Investigation Update, DPCI Hawks Municipal Investigation Update. Those are the introduction. And then on the introduction, the Eastern Cape has 9 municipalities categorized as 2 metros, 6 district municipalities, and 31 local municipalities. This report relates to municipalities identified by SCOPA, including Buffalo City Metropolitan Municipality and Nelson Mandela Bay Municipality, 6 districts, Alfred Nzo, O.R. Tambo, Joe Gabi, Kisani, Amatole District Municipality, and 31 local municipalities. The report focuses on consequent management measures implemented pursuant to investigation conducted at the municipalities in accordance with good governance seal of back to basics and precincts of Section 106(1) of the Municipal Systems Act 32 of 2000. The investigation includes those conducted in terms of Section 106(1)(b) of the Systems Act under the auspices of the Eastern Cape COCTA through sourcing of funding from National Treasury. Following the finalization of investigation in terms of Section 106(1)(b), reports are tabled the MEC with an action plan to relevant municipalities who are then required to implement such recommendations, whilst the department monitors the implementation of such action plans. Notwithstanding the referrals made to law enforcement agencies like SIU, DPCI, as well as progress made towards prosecution of criminal cases against officials. National COCTA is establishing a database for officials that are being dismissed because of criminal and or misconduct case in accordance with the guidance and precepts of Section 5757A of Local Government Municipal Systems Act, that is Act of 32 of 2000, the Systems Act as amended in 2011. Then two, Section 171 of Local Government Municipal Finance Management Act, which is Act number 56 of 2003, and three, and Schedule 2 of Local Government Regulation and Appointment and Conditions of Employment of Senior Managers, published on the 17th of January 2014 in the Government Notice number 21 under Government Gazette number 37245 forbids the employment of persons who have been dismissed for misconduct. Though we did not manage to get an update from all the list of 27 municipalities, however, we continue to engage with affected municipalities and law enforcement agencies with a view to get an update in due course. A clear picture depicting the progress made by law enforcement agencies within the province is therefore shared in this presentation for your consideration. Next slide. Okay. Just next slide. On good governance in municipalities depends on the effective management of and administrative competence as well as collective will of municipal councils to work for progressive change. The challenge facing some of our municipality councils is failure to provide quality and sustainable services within the broader context of growth and development. In this regard, the department is calling on all councillors as public representatives to demonstrate unwavering commitment to fight corruption and promote self-enhanced environment in accordance to the, with the Republic of South Africa Constitution, 1996 and 11 legislation. The only coalition council in the Eastern Cape is the Nelson Mandela Bay Municipality. The coalition government in Nelson Mandela poses challenges in as far as taking council resolution. Due to diversity of political affiliations, the council deadlocked taking resolutions, and this has a negative impact on delivery of basic services. A typical example of this is the adoption of the budget ban, which was adopted long after the legislative framework. When the MEC intervened, then the budget was adopted after that. The city has also undergone and still is going through considerable political instability, which has affected the administration. All councils in the Eastern Cape had at least 4 ordinary council meetings during 2019-20 and 2018-19 financial year as legislated. The period from 2016-17 to 2019-20 financial years indicates the mayoral committees also have been in place. The trend in the Eastern Cape has been that that all mayoral committees also have sat at least 4 times in each of the aforementioned years. At the end of 2018-19 financial year, all municipalities within the Eastern Cape had established functional audit committees and internal audit units. However, internal audit governance is still a challenge in the province, and the maturity level of municipalities in terms of internal audit is still lagging behind, which means sometimes the audit committees would not be listened when they give an advice, so that when AG comes in, some of the things would have been corrected. Only 2 municipalities in the province failed to submit the annual financial statement to the AG on time during 2017-18 financial year, namely Sakisiz and Sundays River Valley local municipalities. There are 14 delegated municipalities out of 36 that have not established disciplinary boards. With the boards, when municipalities for challenges of managers, which the cases must be referred to. Amatole District Municipality and local municipalities are the most challenged, with no municipality having established to date. Common reasons for non-establishment of disciplinary boards are that items for the establishment of disciplinary boards are yet to be taken to council. And in instances where the item has been presented to council, the council resolution confirming the establishment of the board has not been submitted by municipalities to provincial treasurer. Provincial treasurer assists municipalities with the establishment of the disciplinary boards by unpacking the financial misconduct regulations through provincial workshops and individual engagement with municipalities. Provincial treasurer also assists municipalities by facilitating training for financial misconduct disciplinary boards on their role and responsibilities. A total number of 12 financial year municipalities, a total number of 12 financial misconduct cases were reported have been investigated during the reporting period. The purpose of this report was outlined by the chair of the SCOPA as to establish whether consequent management measures have been implemented at the affected municipalities in relation to the investigation conducted. Investigation 106-1B, investigation update. The municipality, that is the Amahlathi, investigation status concluded through National Treasury by KPMG. Action taken by MEC, the investigation was tabled to council and the Committee for Implementation. Law Enforcement Agency referral was also made for the criminal matters. The allegations that were there, construction of internal space of Lungisi location, 2 construction of streets of Ndakana, construction of Case Kamahook, sports field, appointment of arms, which is a company, municipal vehicle abuse, security services, catering services. The Namatole District Municipality, phase 1 is concluded, which is done by a service provider appointed by the department this time, open water forensics. Approval for phase 2. There's an approval already for phase 2, although the service provided difficulties in finding cooperation to the municipality to an extent that the reason why there are delays, the MEC has now issued out a gazette, and after a gazette, now we have got subpoenas. Now the investigator is going to get in there for phase 2, and if there's reluctance for cooperation, the subpoenas would be issued. The allegations there were project assassin terminology used since the investigation is still underway. That's a project assassin investigation has not been completed. Phase 1 was completed in relation to corruption and maladministration. Then Blue Crane Route Local Municipality Cocktail finding concluded. Then the MEC taped the investigation with the petitioners, because the petitioners complaining about issues in the municipality. This was emerging from a petition relating to HR issues of the municipality tender and pension benefits, where even workers were complaining that their pension benefits are not paid over. The report was tabled there with an action plan. Buffalo City phase one is concluded by integrated forensic. Approval for phase two has been done. They are embarking now on phase two. The project is still yet not completed. So we are going to go to phase two in terms of dealing with the Buffalo City. Next slide. Then Dr. Bears Nodde. Now, with respect to this municipality, the department does not have records as to whether the municipalities were investigated. However, law enforcement agents that the municipality has been alerted for an update in this regard. This means, Honorable Chair, we don't have an investigation report in the municipality, but what we did to brief the report, we tried to look at law enforcement agencies to brief us whether there are any cases reporting to reported to them, so that we can have a record at hand. Then Emalahleni, which is the Eastern Cape, Emalahleni Local Municipality, the report was concluded through National Treasury by Deloitte. The investigation was tabled by MEC to Council and Committee for Implementation and Referral to SAPS. The service provider was paid for installation of non-functioning high mast lights and traffic department building. Enobo concluded through National Treasury by a company called Funduzi. The investigation was tabled by the MEC to Council and Committee for Implementation and Referral to SAPS. Investigation was in relation to MIG projects, construction of six access roads and infrastructure. Those roads were Bekileni, Kandeleka Road, Chidini, Kwatita Road, Tuetwe Mzwini Access Road, Ngudlwana Mzangweni Road, Newton Stateni Road, and Ntunguzini Access Road. These roads were declared as roads that have been done, but the investigation picked up that there were no roads that have been done of this nature. But on this Enobo, National Treasury is still going to complete other roads, because there were 12. They have investigated this one, so they will finalize the other roads. In Okumkitima, concluded to National Treasury by Deloitte, tabling of the investigation is still outstanding. However, a plan is being developed to table all the remaining investigation with the municipality. I think the COVID had a challenge. I think the MEC now is taking a decision to present this virtually to municipalities, all those outstanding reports. Mostly related to irregular appointments of service provider resulting to irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Great Kai Local Municipality is concluded to National Treasury by Komoto. The investigation findings were tabled to Council, and the community referral was made to relevant law enforcement agencies for criminal charges and recoveries. Allegations is the Happy Valley Community Hall, Prince Sportsfield Phase 2, Mayoral Golf Day Event, Kweleha Plangeni Sportsfield 2, Compass Sportsfield 2. These sports fields were not finalized, but money was paid. The Mayoral Golf issue relates to a Mayoral Golf, which was indicated as has happened, but the investigation found that there was no mayoral golf event. In Moza Hill Local Municipality, cocktail investigation was concluded with a recommendation to do a forensic as approved previously by National Treasury. Tabling of the report to Council of the Municipality, referral was also made to National Treasury for forensic investigation. Issues in relation to political issues, demolition of house in new rest location, lack service delivery, rate payers issues, irregular procurement processes, irregular human resource matters, corruption and fraud, criminal issues, financial matters, hawkers matters. And this report, Honorable Chair, the department has done a preliminary report. National Treasury was there, but there was no cooperation to National Treasury. The matters that were investigated preliminarily were handed over as well to National Treasury, but MEC was under pressure to present the preliminary report, whilst it is not conclusive. He presented that report in order to, you know, to create stability in the municipality. But National Treasury is still going to go there, because they were kicked out. There was no cooperation. And then we get Joe Kabi, investigation not concluded. Notice letter was sent to Joe Kabi in relation to procurement, corruption in relation to procurement of pipes through emergency order. the investigation is still underway. And then KSD concluded through National Treasury by PwC, the investigation was held by the MEC to council and community with an action plan, and law enforcement agencies referral were also made for criminal matters. Let me mention this. When I'm talking about referral, MEC did not only depend on the council to refer the report to SAPS. He also referred the reports by himself and meet the commissioner of the province and given them the files to do an investigation. The allegations, the fleet management contract, the task gate project of 4 million, which increased to 87 million. In this fleet management contract, the municipality is accused of buying some cars for certain leaders in the municipality. And then the task rate, it was money that was then paid to workers. Follow up, then action plan, follow up letters drafted for update of the action plan implementation. On this one, all those municipalities that were MEC tabled the report, MEC has written letters to them to get an update. We only got three responses, Great Kai, Emalahleni, and KSD, where other municipalities did not respond. And then the MEC has now instructed the legal team to draft a legal instruction to enforce municipalities to implement those recommendations. There are these municipalities, Koha, Makana, Mbashe, Klonklo, Muma, with respect of these, the department does not have records to whether these municipalities were interested. However, law enforcement agencies and the municipality has been alerted for an update in this regard. We know SIU has got an investigation at Mbashe, and that investigation was done by SIU. We advised, there was a letter written to the MEC requesting for an advice for a particular action that needs to be taken. MEC referred the matter back by responding and giving guidance on how council should handle that matter. And that was a matter that relates to a yellow fleet in the area of Muswa. And then Nelson Mandela Bay Metro. Also Nelson Mandela Bay Metro, for us in the department, we don't have our own records of investigating them, but there are reports that were done directly by National Treasury to them, and which are supposed to be implemented. And we know that the other reports are with Hawks and SIU, which they were consulted. In, when the communication was done with those law enforcement agencies, it was very difficult for us to get some off because the report, as their indication was that now the investigation is at the center of the stage. Now, Muswa LM, I think there was an indication as well on it for 2014 report. The only, we don't have a report, only the MEC has started now to start its investigation in Muswa, but I think as well there's resistance and there's a process that we're undertaking to finalize that. PSJ, Port St. John's, concluded through National Treasury by KPMG investigation not yet to be tabled. As I've indicated, it falls under those that would be tabled by MEC virtually now. It's an abuse of Regulation 32 of MSA, MFMA, and other related offences. That yellow fleet, the performance management, which was done as well by Regulation 32, is a matter that is key there. And then Raymond Mhlaba concluded through National Treasury by Koboto. The report investigation not yet tabled by the MEC, awaiting the handing over of the report by National Treasury for implementation and referral. On them is irregular procurement of yellow fleet plan, irregular appointment of staff and other corrupt related issues. Then Sakisi's forensic investigation was approved through National Treasury to be conducted by ENS. The action taken not concluded as yet because in Sakisi's as well we are awaiting for a report to be tabled to ask for MEC to be able to go there and table such a report. On Sarah Batman, with respect of this municipality, the department does not have records of whether these municipalities were investigated. I'll say this all the time, Chair, because what we have done that beefed up the report was as well to try and connect, not to say this statement only, but communicating with other agencies. So those agencies, we sometimes get a response, but when the case at a sensitive stage, was it is not our case, they would say to us, yes, we're investigating, but the case at a sensitive level. Then Walter Sisulu ML, a preliminary investigation was conducted to National Treasury by BDO. A plan is being developed to table all the remaining investigation with the municipality. It was related to RDP house allocation, corruption in relation to procurement processes and irregular appointments. And then NDA municipal cases prosecution update. Now, Honorable Chair, what we did, without saying to the committee, no, we don't know about this, though we struggled, we tried to call all these agencies, those that were able to give us the information in areas where we don't have records, they did so. You would see that there's Muma local municipality, the state versus Stephen Willingman, consultant and three others. The case involved 10 irregularities relating to the construction of Pantana access roads, and the tender amount was plus minus 2 million. The education committee awarded that to Pantana project and sans construction. The company was not, the issue was not able to bid evaluation committee. Claims submitted and money paid work done not according to required specifications. Three suspects have been charged. The matter now on this one is before the court. And then King Sabata Dalingebo is the state versus Luanda Makwenju, Songelwa and two others. The matter involved fraud and corruption relating to appointments. A human resource manager was approached by the member of the public. It is alleged that the said member paid money for employment to one of the officials of King Sabata Dalingebo municipality. The members were paying amounts ranging to 500 to 5,000. If a member of public was to be a cleaner, he or she had to pay an amount of 500 in cash or in the bank account. And the man, and for police officer, it was about, for a manager, the police officer, it was about 5,000 in cash or deposited in the bank. A financial fraud case of 120,000 was suffered. The matter is before the court, and there are charges of fraud and corruption. Muswa district municipality, you would see, Muswa is not a district municipality, but this is how it has been written in their record. So we felt that we should not change that, because this is how it's written in their record. The state versus Ndombotu Momgoti, the matter involves allegation of fraud and corruption against an employee of the municipality with that amount of 2.563315. Which was suffered, and the matter is before the court and it has been postponed for trial. And Nobo, the state versus Ombakazi Mlamli and eight others, the matter relating to allegation of fraud demanding fraudulent payments that were made by Nobo local municipality to bank accounts of companies and individuals for services that were not rendered and goods that were not delivered to the municipality. Police investigation that six employees of the municipality were involved in the scam, the money is paid into the bank account of companies of their relatives and our friends, and also personal bank accounts of their friends and our relatives. The matter is before the High Court. And then you go to Alfred Nzou District Municipality, Ngobo, the state versus Mzingisi Fubu, the matter relating to allegation of fraud emanating from fraudulent payment which was made by Ngobo Municipality to bank account of company which accused was sole, which was alleged as a sole director for services that were rendered and goods that were not delivered to the municipality. The financial prejudice suffered 363,744. The matter is before the court as well. Alfred Zoe, the state versus Lee Zotageta and two others, fraudulent payments were made by Alfred Zoe District Municipality to various bank accounts belonging to various companies. The total amount with the Alfred Zoe District Municipality was defrauded was about 28 million. The matter is before the court and it has been postponed for trial. Buffalo City Metropolitan Municipality is the state versus the Vuyo Zambodla and another. The matter involves tender regulations relating to Confederation Cup and the World Cup, which is the supply chain processes were not followed in rewarding the tenders. They are facing charges of fraud and corruption with an amount of 490,000, which was suffered by municipality. The case is before the court. Then the state versus Wendy Makageza Galat and 16 others, same in Buffalo City. The matter involves fraud and corruption relating to awarding of tenders, a variety of mineral projects based on budget that was provided by the Director of Communication Services, Ms. Makageza Galat, which totaled to amount of That amount, the mineral project includes grass cutting, beautification, illegal areas and bush cutting around Eastland and Kingland Town. The amount which has been defrauded to the municipality is plus minus 11 million. Because of different votes, the money was taken from DCMM. The accused are facing charges of fraud and corruption and contravention of the MFMA. The matter is before the court. Numa, the state versus Terrence Ndutu and 17 others. The matter involves fraud and corruption and contravention of MFMA relating to awarding of tenders. Accused 4 and 7 to 18 were members of the DC based of Numa Municipality. They awarded tenders in contravention of the MFMA to companies. Accused 2 and 6, which are represented by Accused 1 and 5, investigation revealed that kickbacks were paid to the late municipal manager, Tansi, and Accused 3 and 4. The municipal manager there, Tansi, and they passed on. And then the next one is Lukanji, the state versus Andiswe Mkwebe and 2 others. The matter involves fraud, theft relating to transfer of money from the municipality account to various unknown accounts. The total amount that was transferred is 693,338.5. The accused are facing charges of fraud and theft. The matter is before the court. Postponed for trial. Buffalo City waste tender regulators awarded to non-deserving service provided by flouting municipal supply chain management regulation contravention of the Municipal Management Act determined deserving service providers. Financial prejudice there, which is suffered, is 28 million. The matter is before court on charges of fraud, contravention, and MFA is postponed for trial. Now on this one, if you see, Honorable Chair, there was then some kind of a reluctance to release the entire information on that part, but suffice to say we managed then to get the other part of the detail of the case because the reluctance of whether the information is going to leak or maybe we'll approach those people. So there was some reluctance. Then the Tata 2, you would see the names are old, the cases are old. Tharatu District Municipality, the state versus Mtsebisi, Dinis and 8 others. It is alleged that the Tharatu District Municipality incurred irregular expenditure amounting to 1.058600. The internal audit report further reflected that the above mentioned irregular expenditure was a result of a circumvention of procurement policy of Tharatu District Municipality during appointment of awarding of work to some suppliers. This action constituted as gross negligence and criminal offense in terms of the MFMA. F56 of 2003. The matter is before court and has been postponed for trial. Kwezi Municipality, the state versus Chantel, Leon Williams, and another. The matter is appointment of irregularities, various allegations, alleged criminal activities, civil investigation identified that the head of department appointed accused one as municipal manager of Kwezi, although did not have qualifications, further increased salary and bonus payments, and accused one was done irregularly, created fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The municipality suffered fruitless prejudice of that amount, 1.2. The matter is before the court. SIU, municipal investigation update. Proclamation R26 of 2005, R27 2005, Chair. There are those municipalities listed there. The indication is that all investigations have been concluded and reports have been submitted. Now the reports, as the indication, they are submitted to the president, and after the president has agreed to the reports, the SIU takes the reports back and investigate then or arrest where there is a matter of arrest. And then that's the date of proclamation. Then again, proclamation R50, Kaukeni Municipality. There are these municipalities, Nelson Mandela as well, Great Kai, Buffalo City Metro, Amatlati Local Municipality, Alfred Nzou. So there are SIU investigations as well, which are in progress. And those reports, as I said, are handed over to the president after investigation. Then if agreed to, then the SIU will start arresting where there are areas that they need to arrest. And then Alfred Nzou is also investigation concluded there. Raymond Nkaba investigation has been concluded. But a local municipality investigation has been concluded. Hawks investigations update. Update received on the 30th of September 2020, around 21 municipal cases of corruption and related offenses were under investigation. These investigations relate to various municipalities of the province. HOCS is currently updating their database and will communicate statistics to us in due course. Highlights being OR Tambo District Municipality door-to-door COVID-19 campaign concluded. A number of investigations are ongoing at Nelson Mandela Metro Bay, Amatola District Municipality as well, investigations in progress. Consequent challenges, possible solutions. MEC recently wrote letters to affected municipalities requesting progress on the implementation of the action plan. Great Kai and Amalahleni responded. Legal consideration is underway of dealing with all those that are not cooperating. Lockdown slowed down the process of tabling of reports to municipalities. The process of resuscitating the table of outstanding reports is underway. COCTA is committed to support municipalities in implementing forensic report outcomes, and only Great Kai and Amalahleni requested such support. All table investigations are handed over to law enforcement agencies for pursuing of criminal matters and possible recoveries. Okay. Then this is municipal officials' misconduct, Prescriptive Chair. I don't know whether I should bore you about it, but we felt that this is what we are giving as a direction as well to municipalities when they are dealing with these issue areas of misconduct, of dishonesty, and indicate a period that must expire. Remember, the biggest problem is that when municipalities, when I'm appointed in a municipality, I'm able, when I create a problem here, I'm able to go and join another municipality. And that's what is happening. That's what has been happening, which then the MEC as well took as that as a responsibility of writing to the municipality that has employed a person who left challenges where he was going forward. I think this is an indication of municipal conduct principles, which I'm not going to bore you, Chairperson, a guide. Again, the same chair, which is indicating the period that must expire before a person gets reappointed. We are trying to reflect that, and this is the guidance we're giving as well to municipalities. Same chair on the issues of breach of code of conduct in categorization of all those misconducts, we are indicating which years can a person then can go back to the system. Conclusion, most municipalities' recommendations through COCTA formulate an action plan for attention of municipal councils and all relevant parties. Due to the number of municipalities supported through either 154 and or 139 through administration, the need for COCTA to do investigation arise, and the budget issues seem to be a challenge sometimes. Most municipalities have given the investigation to COCTA, though they have the capacity and the committee seem not to be comfortable with municipalities invoking its investigation and prefer COCTA to invoke investigation. So in a municipal environment, when there's a problem, communities would say, you can't investigate yourself. We don't trust that. Leave COCTA to investigate. So due to high volume of municipal cases, this has tended to affect the turnaround time between all law enforcement agencies and stakeholders and create a backlog. MEC was always checking from law enforcement. Law enforcement agencies have got a number of cases in front of them besides these ones that we are referring to them. Where this investigation has been concluded, there is a slow implementation of the finding, and local government anti-corruption strategy has contributed positively towards the hotline cases, and there's been a decline of reporting because we were put focusing on four pillars: prevention, which is awareness campaign, detection, auditing and fraud prevention plan, investigation and resolution prosecution. A local government anti-corruption forum has been formed with this year called to facilitate dialogue between law enforcement agencies, national and provincial department, and all role players within the affairs of local government to assist with better coordination of enforcement and preventative measures. Eastern Cape COCTA has developed joint team approach in dealing with municipal petitions. These teams have assisted in ensuring that all the facts are either validated and were otherwise refuted through this multidisciplinary approach comprised of representatives from infrastructure, legal, municipal capacity, municipal admin, municipal development finance, which is dealing with unauthorized, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and anti-corruption units. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. That's the end of the report. Thank you, MEC.
Right, MEC, let's hand over to you if there's any concluding remarks you'd like to make to the presentation.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. There are a few points that I would want to underline and bring to the attention of the committee. First is the pushback that we get when these investigations, Section 106 of the Systems Act, when we decide to invoke that section. Because A of the section provides that the MEC must request information if there are such allegations against the municipality. And B of the same section says that if the MEC has reasons to believe that fraud and corruption has been committed, the MEC must investigate. And because we've got information already at times in many of these instances, and therefore there is no point to go to B, we make a decision to go to A. I then make a decision to go to B and invoke and inform the municipality that I'm invoking this section to investigate. And there has been an issue even with the MEC before me for municipalities to think that, you know, for them to be investigated, they must give a permission or they must prescribe how the MEC approaches that allegations against them. And they consider those investigations to be illegal and they are not cooperating. Hence, then I'm taking the route of gazetting so that you compel people. To this extent, I went to an extent of requesting a senior council opinion, which agreed that you know, the law does provide for the MEC because to exercise this power. And therefore, those who are alleged to have done wrong, they cannot prescribe how the MEC does this thing. And the second point is the politicization of the whole investigation report. Sometimes it depends which, factions are dominant in the municipality. Sometimes the people who have done wrong, they belong to a dominant faction. And therefore, it becomes even difficult even to convene council so that the MEC can go and table the investigation report because the dominant, faction is a stumbling block. That is the politicization of the whole thing. And because of that factionalization, the report is treated collectively, blocking a due process even if it has been tabled. People will then begin to challenge and represent those who are alleged to have done a wrong thing. And the approach has been saying, here is an action plan with findings and recommendations of what must be done. Yours is to allow due process. If anyone thinks that they've got, they are being, treated unfairly, they must go to a relevant platform than to hold council and the communities that are complaining into ransom because you want to use council to defend certain individuals that are alleged. So due process must be allowed. The other side of that thing is that the petitioners, at times, they would want to assume to take over the role of council, the petitioners. Wanting if it says that, so-and-so has been appointed as a director with no qualifications. Once you table the report, they want that person out of that municipality. And we've been saying it is not the case. There must be a due process that must be allowed. So that person must go to that relevant platform and appropriate decision is taken. And therefore, there is a need to allow space of bodies that are authorized to take certain measures. They must be allowed space to do so than for petitioners or communities wanting to take over that process. The other one, Honorable Chair, which I will run, the delay, therefore, in the tabling, is not owed only to COVID, but also owed to this pushback that I'm talking about, that there seems to be a factionalization of how these matters are treated, and therefore there will be a pushback depending on this. That's why we're calling then for the professionalization and the anchoring on all what we're doing on rule of law and due process be respected. I just wish you, for the benefit of the committee, to mention the last one, which we did in Walter Sisulu Municipality, which we forgot to include here, where we investigated allegations against four councillors who were facilitating land invasions and selling the land. They were investigated by ourselves, and they were given an opportunity, and they have since been removed as councillors
as part of taking action. That is another shock that then seeks to, you know, delegitimize even COGTA and COGTA MEC as a role player in enforcing the code of conduct, because people are not used, for COGTA to taking action against councillors. And therefore, there's been this pushback around this question. We effectively removed them, and hence there were vacancies, and there were filled then in the last by-elections. And again, in KSD, a councillor there was alleged to have been taken money about 25,000 from an unemployed woman, promising that you will give him an RDP house. And this woman used even some of the money taken from the kids who would qualify for NSFAS, and they would give part of the portion to the mother. And therefore, she would put these monies together to give to this councillor with the hope of getting a house. And the council delayed in acting in KSD. And we acted because they delayed, because sometimes they think that when they don't act, COGTA must fold their arms, which is completely wrong, because the COGTA is a role player in enforcing the code of conduct. So we acted on that one. But again, the preoccupation of some councils, including this one, would be to defend the so-called public representatives than to consider the interest of those they claim to represent. So we acted on this one, but he went to court to appeal. So we are opposing that. So, Honorable Chair, these are the things that we're facing as we do this work. And thanks, Honorable Chair.
All right, let me see. Thank you very much. Let us go to questions. Honorable Hadebe had his hand up. Speaking about by-elections and Honorable Dex, I'm in Kandla to celebrate. So, right, Honorable Hadebe, over to you.
Oh, so you're celebrating in Kandla?
Yeah, Salut Davin, all right, over to you, Bob. Sure.
Yes, thank you so much.
The $10 award in the country.
Now, those are sad and disturbing news indeed. Chair, thank you so much to the presentation from the MEC. MEC, to a certain extent, I understand your predicament and quagmire in what you have just alluded to. Having said that, Honorable MEC, I am not a legal expert, but I was once taught that ignorance of the law has no excuse. And those municipal council who seem to defy and question the legislation as enshrined in the Systems Act 106 ought to have to be dealt with accordingly. We are here as COPA. Unfortunately, we are not in a position to engage or entertain any factional battles within municipal councils. Ours as COPA is to deal with financial compliance, and where there are instances of maladministration and misappropriations of a public purse, what we want to see is a consequence management applied to the latter. We want to get a sense of how much was misappropriated, by who, what were the action taken, what was the sanction, who are the officials involved, what position do they occupy, whether they are senior or junior within those municipalities, and how many criminal cases have been referred to the relevant authorities, are there any litigations to recover some of the money? That's what we are interested in as SCOPA. Unfortunately, your presentation has given us an indication of what we are dealing with, but it is not detailed. We do not have a sense of the issues that I've highlighted. Honorable Chair, if I may, you have indicated cases that have been concluded as per Section 106, subsection 1B. But The report does not tell us how many officials were implicated and what positions do they hold, those officials. That's the information we're not privy to yet. Such a report was concluded. Yes, it was concluded. Table to come. We need to know what is what are these municipal councils dealing with? Who are the culprits in those municipalities? We want to have that sense and feel that indeed there's consequence management. We don't know how many referrals in terms of criminal investigation. What is disturbing is that there are almost more than 10 municipalities, O.R. Tambo, our hero, Nelson Mandela Bay, Uha, Makana, Mbashe, Mshonto, Bears Nodier, Sarah Batman. You are saying to us the department does not have records of any investigation. Now the question will be, who keeps and supposed to furnish you with those investigations? And if it's municipalities, when did you request such information? Your report does not have dates. Now, I'm interested in knowing, in almost over 10 municipalities where you do not have records, when have you requested that information from those municipalities? And when are you expecting to receive such information? It is not enough to say you have requested, but for us to be able to see that there's movement, give us dates and whether or not we have indicated time in which you want that information to be available. In Okum Kijimi, as well as here I must be politically correct, Imam, if I'm pronouncing this word, Inu Zahil. You have indicated that the report has been concluded yet not tabled. When was it concluded? There are time frames in terms of the Municipal Systems Act that prescribe certain things that ought to be done, the 90 days where you need to conclude. We don't have information. So all those that are outstanding and have not yet been tabled to council, we need to know, when did you conclude your report and when are you planning to provide such information to those municipal councils? We understand the issue of lockdown and the a challenge in effecting some of this. Your PSJ, again, concluded, not yet tabled. We need to have a sense what is happening. Chair, I think it's slide 26 that deals with consequence management. You have indicated to us that letters were sent to these municipalities requesting a progress report on their action plan. Yet again, we are told that it's only two municipalities that have responded positively. Tell us how many municipalities, which are the name and shame those municipalities that have not responded. Have they indicated the reasons why before you even resort to issues of gazetting and legal action? We need to know which are these municipalities that are blatantly defying to give progress a report. Your report is silent. We don't know what are we dealing with. And we need dates, like I've indicated, of when were these reports tabled to council. So if you can give us that information, Chair, it will clearly give us a sense and indication of exactly what are we dealing with. But for now, from where I am sitting, the report, that it's a skeleton without a flesh. Please attach a flesh into your skeleton. We acknowledge and welcome the progress made so far. But like I said, Honorable Chairperson, Municipal Systems Act Section 106 is clear, having time frames, and it tells you what must be done when you need to submit to NCOP and the President. But without that information, we're unable to say indeed you are on the right track or in the right direction. Thank you so much, Honorable Chairperson.
All right. Thank you much, Honorable Hadebe. Honorable Somia.
Well, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. And I think let's appreciate the report tabled by the MEC Eastern Cape and his team. There are a few matters that I want to raise. I think Honorable Hadebe has raised a number of areas which I think are very critical for us to indulge quite objectively with the report. One area relates to the fact that I think the department and the MEC are facing a huge challenge in as far as to the areas investigated or still in progress for investigations and the tabling of such reports, looking into a number of municipalities affected and the totality of a municipal population as a number of municipalities in the province. It really raises a very grave concern in as far as the implications of stability, the areas of fraud and corruption, the maladministration, that bedevils the operational capability of our municipalities in the province. If you could categorize them into various platforms, you would find out that, as they've done, there are municipalities which have their own matters investigated, probably finalized investigations, as they would have those who are alleged appear in the courts. But the court system is somewhat acting in a very slow pace into resolving some of those cases. It might have been, through your chair, necessary, even from our side, to look into how can we seek some kind of a referral point to ensure that NPA does have an understanding of such cases and how they could assist around ensuring that we find a somewhat resolute approach in as far as the finalization of those matters, because we must be exemplary in dealing with matters. And if such examples don't exist, these matters are going to continue. And even the MEC himself will be undermined if they will investigate for the sake of investigations when they make follow-ups or they make referrals. Such referrals take a long time to find a resolution. The second aspect to those are those as well who are under investigation, which need as well to throw in a spanner on such matters, probably in terms of engaging law enforcement agencies in as far as those matters are concerned. It's no use to somewhat people to find these kinds of faults, and we take what is termed unyawo lonwabo in dealing with these matters, because even those who are alleged would find peace if their matters are somewhat finalized and be able to create a stable environment in our municipalities. The third angle relates to a number of municipalities. I think Hadebe has made reference to this. As we know, that there is a myriad, a pile of investigations that have taken place within Nelson Mandela Bay, which are supposed to be known within the department itself. It then pains one to have a scanty referral into matters that are deep into a corrupt angle in as far as the Nelson Mandela Bay municipality is concerned. In the similar vein, if you look into O.R. Tambo District Municipality, those matters have been just recently cited. The MEC himself has penned some investigation just recently in that municipality. Those matters ought to be cited for us to be able to have a permeation of what needs to be done in such instances, and be able to assist at the level of the interventions which ought to take place in some of our critical municipalities, as you would know, to enhance the district development model to be somewhat sustained quite appropriately. So the scantiness, the lackluster in presenting these matters is itself a challenge, because these are very critical, serious matters which ought to be responded to quite accordingly and be dealt with in terms of assisting stability at a municipal level. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there, Babuson, are there any other hands? I don't see hands in the
yes,
group.
Yes, the hand.
Okay, Mam Dolasha, over to you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Also want to thank the presentation from both the MEC and the accounting officers. Chair, some matters are being dealt with by the two honorable members. I just want to lift the fact that the MEC and the HOD are raising a very serious matter for me, where we have municipalities that don't have reports, where there was an investigation kind of, but to date don't have those reports, or they as office or the department can't access those reports. I just want to check from the Honorable MEC whether there's a problem with the legislation insofar as that is concerned, or there's a lack of working relationship between us and the councils themselves, or between us and investigating institutions. I'm raising this, Chairperson, because I know for a fact that in the communities where these things happen, there's never going to be stability until these investigations are done, completed, and wherever needs to be implemented, that happens, so that you can then get to say, we investigated, there were findings, there was an implementation, and this is the situation. Because if you don't do that, Honorable MEC, as it is the case now, you forever find people protesting about this or that. And sometimes some elements taking advantage of those difficulties, exploiting and create havoc in our areas where municipalities are, because they add other things. In fact, basically, the community had a concern of a particular report that was never completed. So I really would want to hear from them whether there's a problem with the legislation, or there's a problem with the relationship between us and the municipalities themselves, or there's a problem between them and the investigating institutions. Okay, the MEC and the HOD are also raising the perception that is there in municipalities where they think the co-opters shouldn't have business in intervening in the municipalities, especially where there are problems. Even there, Chair, I know it does happen, and it creates a huge problem, because it allows municipalities to do as they wish. And again, it creates a perception in the communities to say, we are a government that allows anarchy and nothing is done when that anarchy is taking place. I really would want to, maybe the MEC alone and the HOD might not be able to give us exact answers, but maybe we need to further discuss this matter, Chair. That now, with time, the municipalities now are created and they begin to be a no-go area insofar as oversight is concerned. And if you allow this to happen, it's going to create problems. I know one of the municipalities, when the MEC was not even allowed to come and be part of the municipalities and so that he can advise properly. I'm saying, what else can we do? Because that is creating more problems, making people not to account on the wrongdoings, but also further confirm the perception that is there to our people to say, "Ay ungenza noma yini akakho umuntu ozokwenza lutho la." The last one, Chair, the officials that are alleged to have done wrong, but which are hopping from one municipality to the other,
I heard MEC speaking very well about that. I hear that he's doing something. I guess there's a need for the entire three spheres of government to look at this chair and make sure that we resolve this. Because this is what also creates more problems. Because the one official moves from one municipality and leaving the allegation without having explained to them and get to another municipality. And in there create more problems. And then there's no stability once again. There is, whilst there's going to be a process of him her accounting, then again he jumps the ship, he goes and joins something else. I think even there, Chair, once I hear that this is a problem in the Eastern Cape, I get to know that it's a problem nationally. I think there's a need for us to come in here and copy notes and see how best can we make sure that we avoid this. Because even when it comes to oversight and then later on make sure people do answer on what they've done, as they are hopping from one inspire to another, you're not going to be able to do that. In fact, it exacerbates the problem that we are experiencing at the present moment. I agree, Chair, with the fact that we need a picture that tells the exact story like the MEC and the HOT is talking, but in their documents, it's not very, very clear. We need to know which municipality, who was the official concerned, what has happened, but also when did this take place? I guess, Chair, with this report, the province led by the MEC, we need to also know what is their relationship with the investigating units so that we can get to hear whether they are in charge of the cases where I saw that there is that report. But I'm afraid, Chair, it's like, as the Honorable Somyo, here, and the problem is forever there's not going to be stability in the communities, and we have criminals that take advantage of that and frustrate our people and create chaos. Otherwise, I accept the report. We need a lot of detail. We need to hear exactly what did we do, Ngobani, where is the person now. We need to get a situation where people are made to account on what they've done. I'm worried, MEC, to you, Chairperson, whether the decision about the OR Tambo, of it being one of the municipalities that we are going to check whether the new concept is going to work, with all the challenges that we see, and we also explain, are we able to make that municipality to be coherent such that it is able to implement all that we have discussed and agreed as government, as one of the municipality that needs to do that? Because we all know that a lot of people are staying around that municipality and they're expecting us to give the services that they deserve. But with the situation in that municipality, I'm afraid, and I really need to get to hear the assurance from the MEC on whether we are going to move any further insofar as that matter is concerned. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
All right, thank you, Imam Tolasha. Honorable Hatte, we've got a small Anyana issue to raise.
Yes, Chair. No, thank you so much. In relation to this one coalition council, which is Nelson Mandela Bay, which happens to be one of the municipalities where the department has indicated not having records of investigation taking place. The question is, can the department give us an update on this municipality in relation to structures, whether or not they are all in place? The last time we checked, there was no mayor in that municipality. Are the structures in place, the MPEC structures, audit committees, structures that are responsible to ensuring that there's a consequence management and we prevent irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure? What's the latest status update in relation to Nelson Mandela Bay? Because without these structures in place, the Section 79 committees will be forever having reports that indicates we don't have records of investigation within that municipality. So a brief explanation in terms of the status of Nelson Mandela Bay would assist a great deal in us effecting our oversight. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I think the salient points have been largely covered, Honorable MEC, and to say it's good that the confusion of last week has been clarified, wherein there was a report that the AG, that the HOD presented, which you had no sight of. So that clarity helps us, because now this, we know we are on the same page. I think I must indicate to you, MEC, we will be coming to the Eastern Cape, I'm sure before the end of this year, to interact with some of these municipalities as part of our own ongoing oversight into municipalities. Next week we are into KZN. And so we will be coming through. I'm sure you will receive a list of those. And so that's why the information is important that we are asking for, which will make help us make a determination which one to prioritize. I think the initiative you have taken in so far as, you know, the movement of people, or the hobnobbing of people, or the popcorn style, like, of people popping in everywhere, having left a trail of destruction behind, must be commended, because as Omtulasha says, it has become a perennial headache across the public service in all three spheres of government, and we have to find ways and means to solve it. So I think whilst of course I believe it may be improved in that the time frames have to be also bound to consequences insofar as dealing with those things are concerned, but it's a step in the right direction, and I think it's the first time we've heard something similar to that. So it will be good that we consult with you on the initiative, so that we, when we move ahead with our own, we can borrow from something which in one way or the other is being actioned. So I would like to then hand over to you, MEC, and your team for responses to the issues that colleagues have raised, and then we will begin a process of rounding up the meeting.
Yeah, thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I would like, with your permission, Honourable Chair, request the HOD and the team, which is DDG Hoboji and legal advisor Mr. Makum, to provide responses, and after that I'll then make my comments on the issues as well, my responses on the issues raised by honorable members.
Okay, no, that's fine. MEC, you can proceed in that fashion. HOD, over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thanks for the questions. I'll first respond to the last issue asked by Honorable Hadebe about Nelson Mandela, the structures there. The MPEC is having a challenge there, because each time there is changes in terms of the political environment, also the MPEC is being changed. So the people that have been trained, now you have to train new people, and it's quite a challenge. So politics, challenges of politics there, and reshuffling does have a serious impact on MPEC. The second thing is the audit committee. The audit committee in itself, their recommendations are not listened to, and that in itself is a challenge. And the third point that I just want to mention is that on the issue relating to us not having records here, it doesn't necessarily mean that, because most investigations done at Nelson Mandela are at the hand of National Treasury. National Treasury did investigations by themselves, and the reports are at National Treasury. So the difficulty that can, some of the reports that National Treasury was handling are already with the Hawks. Hence, there were some arrests in that environment. So there are a number of reports there, but not conducted under the auspices, because that's a metro, which is a municipality that is not delegated. But so they investigated, and they handed them to Hawks by themselves. So we follow that through with National Treasury to understand what the situation is, and probably can request from them, probably to those that are not sensitive at this point in time on investigation, to get some information from them and extract the information at that particular level. So I would then, Honorable Chair, with your permission, DDG Hoboji, if he has got something to add there, he should as well add.
Thank you. Thank you, Judy. Good morning, Honorable Members. I think what I wanted to talk to HOD is the issue of Nelson Mandela Bay Metro. And you have since covered that with the instability of the political leadership there, it affects the Section 39 structures, as you've already indicated, your MPEG, your internal audit. But we're trying to we assist them continuously. I know for a fact we have been working with them, trying to assist them in terms of risk permitting. But as the HOD has indicated, once there is a change in the council, then those structures are affected, although they are clearly indicated in the Structures Act, what needs to be in place so that there is accountability and consequence management. I think the other issues, Honourable Chair and members, would need us to go back and get details as the HOD has indicated. Yeah, I think I must just stop the most of the details that are required by the Honourable Committee. Would have to look at it through the HOD and the MEC. Thank you, HOD. Thank you, Honourable Chair and members.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. I think my starting note, Honourable Chair, is to appreciate the feedback and questions we're getting from Honourable Members. And to again admit the fact that we needed to add more detail, as this detail in some cases it is available, so that we can have including names, as we have included names so that detail. We should have made it available. I'm committing that we're going to make it available. Because whether you talk about Emalahleni, we know that the CFO have resigned. We know that another employee was dismissed. And Great Kai, we know that an employee has been on suspension. There is an issue because now it's almost a year that the employee has been suspended. And there are other areas. We know that the service provider, which did not complete work in Emalahleni, because the principality wrote them a letter to say we're going to blacklist you to personal treasurer so that you don't business with government. They have since committed to come back and complete the project. So there are those details that I agree, one of the members, that we need to include those details for the benefit of the committee. The other one, the Rimuza Hill Municipality report, it has been tabled. It has been tabled, that report. And people were complaining that they were not interviewed. We opened a space for them to submit those, complaints. And then we did a supplementary report, which was again tabled in October. And the report was subsequently adopted by council. But the issue now is for council to put together an ad hoc committee report, ad hoc committee of council, so that it develop an action plan. We committed to support them. But now they are at that stage where there is a sort of, some efforts to frustrate that process going forward as part of the points that I'm raising. Perhaps let me lift, I think it relates to the point raised by Honorable Tolashe, and some of the details, the delays that we encounter. This point that I'm going to be making, I make, every time, to say that COCTA, we are going to solve political problems administratively. That is why I've been calling upon political parties, including my organization, so that the political problems that are there, political parties must resolve the political problems, because it's not for COCTA to resolve political problems. And the pushback that we're getting, for instance, in Nelson Mandela, the AG, before AG was pushed back there, a threatening letter was just pushed under the door. The AG team had to leave the Nelson Mandela in the last audit process. And they then even went to court blocking the issuing of the audit outcome. And before that, a multidisciplinary team constituted of national treasurer, provincial treasurer, COCTA, national and province, SALGA and MISA, of administrators, went there to do an assessment so that we can provide a proper support. That team was pushed back. And after that, it was the AG pushed back. So indicative of an existing political problem, which will not be solved by COCTA, but political parties must resolve political problems so that administratively we can come in and resolve these problems as government. And I think that's an overriding point that I would want to raise, Honorable Chair. And that the support to the committee, Honorable Somyo, the support of the committee would be really welcomed in this regard, so that the committee can support us as we do this work. And in our we have completed our own investigation there on the issue of, you know, that's the detail that we needed to put on the issue of, you know, of irregular expenditure, which is close to, you know, a billion. We have completed that part, but we have not tabled yet the report. And therefore, the detail would have been necessitated that we provide them once it is tabled in council, you know, the report. But you will not get there. Up until you stabilize the municipality, again, there is a whole issue of, you know, factionalism and politics that I play there. And the minister came down and we have engaged with the political leadership. And some of the concessions that we're making as COCTA, you know, because sometimes there is total disregard of rule of law and due process. And we're making concessions because one of the issues that were delaying our intervention there, because the municipal manager has been suspended. The municipality requested that we send an acting MM, and as part of our practice, we send a technical team to do an assessment so that we can do terms of reference for an acting MM supported by three other officials to go at budget and treasury, at infrastructure, at corporate services, a team of four led by an acting, you know, a official to act as an MM. The starting point, we use that assessment to do terms of reference. The starting point is for them to reject the terms of reference, to say COCTA cannot do terms of reference for us, as council will do our own. So the strange concessions that we're making these days is to agree on their terms in terms of that they must give their terms of reference, because we want to get into that space. Because some of this work that we must do, we will not do it from outside. And therefore, this thing works only if it's anchored on the principles of cooperative governance and of a better understanding of the fact that municipalities, the interdependentness and interrelatedness of these spheres. And therefore, if municipalities present themselves as if there is an absolute, you know, autonomy in terms of, you know, the municipalities, it's going to be a big problem. It's going to be a pushback. And in the main, is informed by politics, and that will not be solved by COCTA, but will be solved by political parties, which have been challenging them time and again, as I said, including my organization, to say if they've got problems with municipalities, they must go and solve those problems so that we as COCTA, and we are in one, you know, about that issue. The matter is that it must be action, you know, with determination. That's the issue about you know, O.R. Tambo. And the visit of the committee will have to prepare as COCTA to ensure that we are available in all those visits so that the committee can access whatever information and ask us any, you know, questions that we might be required to answer during those visits. The last point, Honorable Chair, is to say, which again showing these problems. Because if you see that a municipal manager has left municipality A leaving this trail of destruction, then I wrote this letter to the municipality. I say to them, did so and so during the time of the interview in your municipality disclose that he or she was investigated for these allegations? The municipality, instead of being concerned about that, they would say, no, we've asked the manager consent. He or she says, no, he or she is not aware that she's not being investigated. Instead of being preoccupied with what are the allegations about, so that we can make them to account. In many instances, these people were in fact interviewed and some did not cooperate. But all of a sudden, they claim that they don't know that they're being investigated. And the municipalities where they are located are not worried about that governance issue, because these are people that are, you know, holding public power, you know, that is borrowed at a responsible level. And therefore, the issue of surety that this, you know, pass is in clean hands, so to speak, is quite critical for the municipalities. But you don't get them into that space. They close rank with the relevant people. So those are some of the standing blocks we're getting. So Honorable Chair, thanks for this opportunity. I commit that we'll provide this detail to the committee and look forward to the visit of the committee. Thanks, Chair.
All right. No, thank you very much, MSC. Colleagues, are there any other further questions or comments that you'd like to make? All right. MSC, I think let us take this opportunity. All right, Honorable Hadebe, you may proceed.
Yes, Chair. No, thanks. I take and welcome the response by the MSC and the HOD that some of the information will be forwarded to us. But I was hoping that I think some of the information, Chair, is readily available at their disposal. Here we're talking about 39 municipalities in Eastern Cape, and not all of them we have issues where reports have been concluded. We were specific in our request, Chair, at least give us the date when these reports were tabled. Unless you're saying that information is not readily available. I was hoping that such information is easily accessible, which municipalities are defiant.
No, that's fine. Let's put that pointedly so that we can establish that now from the team that is here.
Yes.
Uguchi, are those dates and reports readily available now?
Okay, yeah, because I need to know. Remember, we'll be going to Eastern Cape. So our focus will be prioritized as per the cases. So if there are municipalities that are defiant, when did you send letters to them requesting action plan, a progress on action plan? If that's not readily acceptable, I will accept. But I thought these issues are at your disposal.
Right, MEC, HOD, let's get a response to that.
HOD?
Honorable MEC, Honorable Chair, for accuracy and thoroughness, the information is here on my other gadget, but for accuracy purposes, can I request that we please submit that, we can do it today so that we cannot make mistakes. We please submit that to the committee today.
All right, Honorable Hadebe, are you amicable to that? If you can receive it by close of business.
Yeah,
Okay, no, that's fine. If we receive it by close of business. Today.
Yeah, let me not be difficult, but I think in future, such information, especially if it's part of your report, I think it goes without saying, when you say to us, we have sent a letter and you're not telling me the date, you are limiting me the information and to understand gravity of the matter. So in future, when you said you submitted something, tell me when did you submit? And if they're not responding, what then did you do to push for them to give you such information? So that we must not probe you to give us answers as if you are economical with the truth. We don't want to do that. And I'm not saying you did that deliberately. And don't get me wrong, leadership. Thank you.
Okay. All right. No, that's fine. I think that point suffices. That information must always be readily available. That goes without saying. And I think that that point is well captured by the MEC and his team. So MEC, let us take this opportunity to thank you, understanding that we are going to be sending you further information for the purposes of the identification of municipalities we will want to meet with on these matters, and also at the same time to make a determination as to where we will be meeting in the Eastern Cape for the purposes of calling the municipalities. So our staff and your staff will be in contact over the next week or two as we speak to bring this matter to a conclusion. We wanted to meet so that we can best understand the situation. And so the information that members require is precisely for that reason, so that we can be able to prepare accordingly. And I think the information given today helps us in that regard. So colleagues, in the absence of further interactions and questions, the meeting is not ending. It will be continuing over the next few weeks as we prepare to go to the Eastern Cape and MEC, we will be requesting information as and when we require it. Let me take this opportunity to thank you and your team, and we will be in touch. Colleagues, the sitting is at 3 for questions to the Peace and Security Cluster this afternoon. And so I think we've had a long day today. Thank you very much for your commitment and your hard work today. Let us then meet next week. And of course, we are in KwaZulu-Natal from Friday through Sunday for an oversight visit to interact with municipalities. In the absence of any other business, the meeting stands adjourned. And thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Nenkanza yakho, siyabonga nenkanza yakho.